Everybody, welcome back to another ramble video. Enjoy the kind of weird different setup happening. This room is kind of in flux. Spoiler warning, but I inked a G Fuel deal for my Twitch channel, not my YouTube channel, and they're sending me the Sonic the Hedgehog mini fridge, which is gonna go there next to the bookcase. So the other stuff had to get moved, and then I want to put wall shelves and put the cans. I have found that gamers that are sponsored by G Fuel or like want to be sponsored by G Fuel, when they finish the powder containers, like the canister that it comes in, they'll like wash it out. They probably don't wash it. Yeah, they're gamers. They don't wash it. But anyway, they'll take the empty container and make like a pyramid that'll be behind them or something. Usually they have like black and red walls with like recessed alcoves, and then they put the G Fuel in there. But anyway, I want to get some wall shelves, which sounds easy, but I'm really bad at putting things up on the wall. When I put up my curtain rods when I moved in here, some of them straight up fell out of the wall. And same with a towel rack that I put up, just fell out of the wall. So now if I ever want to install anything that goes in a wall, I have to hire a TaskRabbit, or, you know, I guess in theory I could ask a friend, but who has friends these days? Also, trying something a little bit different with the camera settings. Somebody gave me some advice about the auto white balance and how it was making me so much more washed out than I need to be, because I'm always a little bit washed out because of being pale. So I turned off that setting, and So I tried to adjust the color filters to compensate for how red that made the room when I turned off the auto white balance. But anyway, it seems to be working. It seems to be a lot more consistent in how my face is lit. So hopefully that's good. This is a kind of a test run on that. Okay, so the winning topic this month is obscure movies, stories, shows, etc. you swore you experienced as a child, but no one knows what you're talking about. And obviously that's inspired by Candle Cove. For people that aren't familiar, Candle Cove is a creepypasta where that happens, but when kids are remembering the show, creepy things happened in it, like there's a scary skeleton man, and then their parents don't remember the show at all. And I feel like this is probably a more universal experience when you grow up in like the 80s, when there is a lot of weird public access stuff that nobody else remembers, or even before that, when like you couldn't do like a sanity check on the internet. You couldn't just Google a show or a description of a show. You would just like talk to people that live in your town, and if they haven't seen the show, you feel like a crazy person. I don't have anything that's like on a full level of spooky, like if you Google it, there's no record of its existence, but I do have shows that I liked as a kid that literally no one else remembers, like no one I've ever talked to, except like maybe my sister who watched them too, but that's it. The first one I put down is We Sing for Sillyville. This one I feel like it has the highest likelihood, well, maybe the second highest likelihood, that some of you will have also heard of it. The We Sing series was, it turns out, an entire series of children's programming / sing-along tapes that were popular in the 90s. Honestly, they look like really low budget, so I would guess maybe they were made in the 80s and were just still being distributed through the 90s. But it's very possible they were made in the 90s and just real cheap. As I said, these are not lost media or anything. You can just find them on YouTube if you'd like to. You know, if you want to watch a 20 to 40 minute children's low budget sing-along program. Actually, when I was sick, my sister and I were going on YouTube and like finding a bunch of the other We Sing series, because we hadn't known it was a series. When we were kids, we only had We Sing for Sillyville and didn't even know about the others. So we watched a couple others, and they're all kind of like nightmare fuel-y in how low budget they are. One was called like The Musical Manor, and one was called Grandpa's Magical Toy Chest. I think I tweeted some like creepy images or video clips from it or something. And the one that we watched was called We Sing for Sillyville. And it's basically, the storyline is like this brother and sister are coloring in their coloring book, and they somehow get sucked into the coloring book where they go to a land where everybody's racist. That is the plot of the movie. There are different like homesteads, communes of different colored people, but they're like rainbow colors. So there's like the green family and the purple family, And each of these families has like a different musical sequence of public domain music they perform for the kids, who I think are magically invisible so that they won't be discriminated against for not conforming to one of the color families. And the kids have this magical host who's like this rainbow clown girl, and she wears all the colors. The resolution of the story is that the rainbow clown girl breaks her ankle and it needs to be bandaged, which requires all of the different colors to come together and give their, like, I think scarves or bandanas, and they all tie them together into a long rainbow scarf so that it is long enough to bind her ankle. And then I'm pretty sure they sing, "Make new friends but keep the old, one is silver and the other is gold." It's a special of only public domain songs. Anyway, having seen a couple other We Sing entries, I realize this is super biased, but I believe that We Sing for Sillyville was the best one. And granted, I haven't seen them all yet, but We Sing for Sillyville, like, I thought it looked cheap, and then I saw the others, and now I think that We Sing for Sillyville looks like it has a higher budget than the other shows. They at least had something to invest in, like, sets that look a little more interesting. Like, you know, it's meant to look outside, it's obviously in a soundstage, but they have fun things like That very children's television show set aesthetic, where it's like fake grass and like fake trees, and then maybe some of the trees have faces and they talk, and that stuff is really my jam. If you do watch it, just be prepared for how much of an earworm like all of these public domain songs are. Like, there's one that's an acorn puppet with a really deep voice that sings "I'm a nut," and there's one that's like "Ain't it great to be crazy." Oh God, see, Rocks with Faces. It's so good. I mean, that one didn't move. Talking trees are so good. We need to really bring those back culturally. I remember this vividly. This is the earworm. The environment's sort of creepy in how fake it is. Keep in mind as I mouse through here that this is the highest budget of the shows I've seen from them. Oh, the frogs! Okay, I really like the frogs. Okay, this is also an earworm. They're all earworms, you know? Where's the nut, though? I remember the nut so much. Oh my God, that's so cute. I just want to live in a nightmare world like this, where everything has faces and it sings to you. Okay, they're at the tree. You guys will know what I mean when I get to it. There's this singing nut. Yes! Oh my God, yeah. Oh, it's kind of scary. Took myself to the movie show. Oh my God, yes. And said, "Let's go." Took my hand and led me out. Drove me home and gave a shout. I'm a nut. I'm a nut. Oh my God, I love the rock with a face. See, that was great. We love the nut. That's Sillyville for you. That's okay. What better to go out on? When we were kids, we had like our mom had a big mom van that had a TV in it. Slightly before it was common to have TVs in cars, and we watched Sillyville all the time. I guess next I'll share the other one that I think people, it's possible that they've heard of it. This one was called Basil Hears a Noise, and genre and aesthetic-wise, very similar to We Sing for Sillyville, although cooler. I guess Basil, I found this out as an adult, I guess he is a Sesame Street character that's from Canada. Like, we don't have him in the U.S. I don't even really know the circumstances of a U.S. home video release of this one special, but this was like the only thing as a kid we ever saw Basil in. I think Basil was either a bear or a dog. You know, like with Muppets, sometimes it's hard to tell just by looking at them. And Basil Hears a Noise, it wasn't like a typical Sesame Street episode. It was like a 30-ish minute, I would guess, long special. And it had like a fairy tale vibe. So I guess Basil, I think in Canada, he just lives in Sesame Street and doesn't have his own like universe or anything. But for the purposes of this special, he lives in a fairy tale forest. And it's him and his friends having this adventure where they have to go through a spooky fairy tale wood and like, I think, solve riddles, encounter obstacles. There's probably another talking tree, or maybe it's like a talking boulder. That sounds right, a talking boulder. and there's like a spooky dragon. They have to arrive at a witch's house. And I remember there's this creepy moment where they like get to the witch's house and they look through the window and they see costumes like hanging up, and they realize that the witch has been disguised as different characters they've encountered. There's like a dragon costume, and they're like, oh my God, the dragon was the witch. And like, I don't think it's supposed to be scary, but I remember finding it really scary and unnerving as a kid, that moment. But the most iconic thing about Basil Hears a Noise is the theme song, which is just really good. It just sounds really cool. And then obviously, no one I knew growing up had seen Basil Hears a Noise or heard of Basil. I don't think in the US we even say it as Basil. I think that's like a UK and French Canadian thing. We call the spice, or is it an herb? We call it basil usually. But yeah, sometimes I would try to ask people if they had seen this thing as a kid, and like, no, just a situation unique to my household. I remember like early in the days of YouTube or like the internet, when you could kind of start to find things online, I did try to look for it because I wanted to hear like the theme song, see if anyone had uploaded it to YouTube, and I couldn't find anything, like any sign of it. And that was so frustrating. I feel like that was also a very like early YouTube era experience. Now you really can just find pretty much everything. It was nowhere to be found, and that drove me crazy. And then it's like, do we still have that tape anywhere? Probably not. So then you're just like, I'll never see it again. But as of like 2 years ago, it is on YouTube in full, unless it's been taken down for like a copyright strike. I doubt I'm going to intrigue anyone enough to want to watch a bunch of like dated kids specials, but yeah, at least check out the theme song. It's really cool. I will try to find it. Maybe I'll just put it in the video. Oh my God, okay, yes. There's like a, yes, it's the theme song.
This program is dedicated to the memory of Jim Henson, creator of the Muppets.
Oh. That was it. Why would you upload that?
Of the Muppets.
Okay, here we go. Yes, oh my God. Yes! I'm gonna crank this. The scan lines just make it better, to be honest. Is that really it? Oh, it's so good though. It's the best part. I think they play it again at the end. I would have this on my Halloween playlist if it was on Spotify. It's so good. It's spooky. It gives you those vibes. This is really all you need for a song. You don't need anything more than this. Okay, I want to find the spooky dragon. Oh my God, yes. Okay, I found this very scary when I was a kid.
They come right up to you. Excuse me. Spicy information and mint jelly, boo.
Scary dragon.
Be an information dragon. Information
dragon. Yes, I found the talking rock. Yes. This is what it's all about. This is like peak fairy tale aesthetic, just like a magical wood built inside a soundstage with a talking rock. It's all you need.
Okay.
I love his sheepies too. I forgot about those. Oh, okay. Now he, oh, he calls them lammies, not sheepies.
I'm a I'm a chicken kind of
bear. So he's arrived at the witch's house, and now he's going to see the scary costumes.
Go inside this house.
It's so good. It's so spooky. Yes, see? That freaked me out so bad.
Costumes hanging on this wall.
And you're like, oh my God, everyone I've talked to in the forest has been the witch. Oh, I like the snake. Oh, it's an eel.
A dragon.
See? It's scary to see it as a puppet and then see it hanging up. It just is. Okay, the next one I remember, this one I feel like is going to be super obscure and like no one's going to remember it. This was a Christmas special, an animated Christmas special called Nick and Noel. And I don't know anyone else, again, outside of my household who is familiar with Nick and Noel. This one is also findable on YouTube, and I put it on for my family last Christmas because classic. This is literally just like the story of a cartoon cat and a cartoon dog who are like neighbors, and they're both friends with like the little girl that owns the cat, but their adult owners feud. It's a man and a woman, so obviously they're gonna get together at the end through the intervention of the dog and cat. And the dog and cat hate each other, and it's a musical, and they have original songs, including about how they hate each other. And yeah, it's probably, again, 30, 40 minutes long. And we just watched it like every Christmas when we were kids. And they go on like a Christmas adventure to find Santa to try to make the little girl's Christmas wish come true. And they become friends, and it's a Christmas dog and cat adventure. As far as I can tell, the origin of this special and the reason we owned it was, I guess, when Toys R Us still existed in the United States when we were kids, they would just have kind of like annual promotions where it's like, this is the Toys R Us exclusive toy we're pushing this year. Like, I remember one year they had, like, soft unicorns, and they were named Darla the Unicorn. And there was just a big marketing push about, like, come get Darla the Unicorn. And it's like, who's Darla? It's just a plush unicorn that you want now. And I did want it, and I had it. So, yeah, one year when I guess we were, like, babies, they did a Nick and Noel promotion. And so they had, like, big plush of Nick and Noel. And as far as I can tell, it was some kind of bundle deal. Like, you know, I wasn't conscious at the time this happened. This would have been one of my parents buying it. But yeah, as far as I can gather, you would buy the plush dog and the cat. And if you bought both of them or one of them or something, you either had the option to add on this VHS tape of the special, or I don't know, maybe it was discounted. I have no idea. I've tried to ask my mom. She doesn't remember. But anyway, yeah, when she goes into, like, the cupboard under the stairs to bring out the Christmas decorations every year, we do have the big plush Nick and Noel that come out and just, like, sit next to the fireplace next to, like, a big snowman thing. I can't even say this one is, like, that good. This is probably the one I least recommend looking into. But it's so nostalgic to me just because we did watch it like multiple times every Christmas, and it probably helps that it was so short. It could just be watched a bunch of times. Oh, another notable thing about Nick and Noel is that the cat Noel is voiced by Kath Soucie, who is like, she was so many cartoon voices. She was Sally in the Sonic cartoon. She was Sally Acorn. She was Phil and Lil. I think she was in the 101 Dalmatians, like, spin-off cartoon. I don't know. She has such a distinct voice. Like, if you listen to anything she's done, you can, like, immediately tell when she's voicing a character. And, I don't know. I think the sound of her voice is very iconic. She's kind of, like, the gold standard to me of, cartoon character voices. It's hard to describe. She has, like, her words kind of, like, have this upward curl at the end, so she plays a lot of, like, cutesy pie characters because that's kind of the sound that it has. You know, if a character's, like, doing a line and then the words start to, like, curl up like this, it's, like, a lot cuter all of a sudden. I feel like I don't have to illustrate Nick and Noel, and it also doesn't have any rocks with faces, so it's clearly the odd one out, but I'll play a little bit so you get the idea. I always think of this musical number when I think Nick and Noel. This and a later scene where they're at Santa's workshop, but I'll play the little song. I just vividly remember the part where the cat weaves around the banister. I'm sure we'll get to it soon. Okay, here we go. That's the stuff. Thought cats were subtle. Now all that's left of him's a poodle puddle. Okay, that lyric. You know when, like, there's a thing from when you're a kid, and it's not, like, necessarily a good line or, like, an interesting part, but just the visual of it, like, sticks in your brain so much that it's, like, satisfying to rewatch it and be like, yes, that's what I remember. Anyway, that's how I feel about that sequence from Nick and Noel. I feel like this really got derailed into just watching clips, but I'm not mad about it. I feel like there's this one part that sticks in people's brains in particular. Like, it seems a universal experience among kids who saw it. But in Mickey and the Beanstalk, there's a scene where they're so poor that they have to carve up a single bean into tiny thin slices and try to share it. And I feel like whenever I've talked about that scene, everyone's like, oh my god, I remember that. Mickey cutting bean. Yes, Yes. I want to know if any of you also remember this very, very clearly. Oh, maybe it's just bread. Okay. It's just thin, thin slices of bread. I thought it was like a kidney bean that they're cutting up really thin. It might also be a bean. I might be right.
Men facing famine.
Yes. A bean? Yes. I knew it.
If it were
okay,
one man
cut the bean.
Beans,
cut no, the bean, Mickey. Bean yes.
And three men.
God, this is grim. Yes, this is the stuff. That's what I remember. And then he's going to put it between the two really thin slices like a little sandwich.
A gaunt, clean bag of bones and feathers. Truly
yes, Donald. This is so sad.
But
anyway. Okay, and the final one that I could think of that fits this prompt is serendipity. Serendipity, like when I was a kid, there was this series of beautiful picture books for kids. And they were like really slim books, very thin stories. And like the whole appeal of the serendipity books was like the illustrations were just so pretty. Like they were so little girl targeted. A lot of them featured like beautiful horses. A lot of them were like magic horses. I did an image search and I'm like looking at the covers right now and they're so cute. Like, it was just these little beasts. Like every book was about a different little beast. And there were unicorns. There was like a fluffy seal, a lot of like dragons and cute bugs and like random fantasy creatures. But yeah, a whole lot of them were beautiful horses with big long eyelashes. And as a kid, I just loved to look at them. Oh, Featherfin. I remember Featherfin. Oh my God, she's so cute. Okay, she's the cutest one. Just an eel with, like, mascara. But anyway, the mascot character, who also had, like, her own book and then was, like, the logo, was Serendipity, who was, like, a purple and green, I think, sea dragon. Oh my God. I did an image search for Serendipity, and there's, like, oh my God, there's, like, fan art of Serendipity and, like, clay sculptures. Somebody made a plush. So cute. I understand why I liked Serendipity and her, like, her family, I guess, all the other characters in that lineup, because they're so much like My Little Ponies. Like, Serendipity's eyeballs are so like a My Little Pony just put on a sea dragon. Anyway, she was an icon. I read so many of the books as a kid, and the books themselves even had kind of a mystique to me, because I felt like I never saw them at, like, Barnes and Noble or Borders or whatever. Like, my source of the books is we would visit my grandpa up in Eureka, like his hometown. We would go there like every summer. Sometimes we would spend Christmases there with my like maternal grandfather. And there was this like touristy shop by the coast in his hometown. And so maybe like of the times we visited there, like one time during that trip, we would go to the coast and then we would go to this little gift shop, and they always had a rack of like a bunch of Serendipity books. So then every time we were there, I would get one of them. So I'd have to like go through all of them and pick the coolest looking creature to get the book of. So I had like a little collection of them, and then I like had them all next to each other on my shelf, and I would go and look at like, you know, pore over them and look at the cool illustrations. And again, like, very simple. Like, you couldn't get a lot of entertainment out of just, like, reading the story. But it was all about the illustrations and just looking at these cool fantasy beasts and, like, imagining your own adventures, I guess they could have. So anyway, one year, it came to my attention. I was in, like, I want to say a Blockbuster, but maybe a Hollywood Video. But it was in that era when, like, video rental stores still existed. And they had a VHS tape of a Serendipity movie called Serendipity. All the covers I'm seeing online are called Serendipity the Pink Dragon, but I think it was called Serendipity the Pink Dinosaur, because I can imagine the theme song and they literally sang the words Serendipity the Pink Dinosaur. But anyway, this is like a weird anime that they made of Serendipity, and I think it was just like a TV special or a movie. I don't think Serendipity was like big in Japan, but apparently she at least got her own anime. Maybe they were hoping she'd be big and they were gonna like see how the special performed, and then it didn't perform that impressively. But anyway, the movie itself, I remember also not being very good. Just kind of like a random adventure. Like, there's some little boy that falls off a boat in a shipwreck and ends up at an island. And Serendipity, the pink dinosaur, is living in the ocean, and then she gets him to the island. And I remember the island had its own, like, government, and there was, like, a bird character named Pila Pila, and he was, like, annoying, and he was, like, you know, kind of an Iago, a Zazu character, like a neurotic bird. And I remember that at some point in the movie, the bird gets put on trial, and that I found that really dark. I found it very scary. Like, I was really worried what would happen to Pila Pila. And I don't remember much more than that. I remember the song really vividly, the opening song. And the thing was, I had never, ever, ever seen this movie for sale, and we rented it. And so I only had it for, like, a weekend. And over that weekend, I played it so many times because I wanted to, like, I didn't want to return it. And then we finally had to take it back. And I was so sad because I was like, I'm never going to see it again. And again, it wasn't even that good. It was just the mystique of it. Like, all this time, Serendipity has had a government. She has had her own film. And I think, as I recall, we returned it. And then, like, I kept asking, like, can we rent it again? And I think finally a couple weeks later it was like, okay, you can rent it again. And we drove back to that shopping center, and that particular branch of video store had gone out of business. So they were gone. And I just never found it again. And then this was kind of the same situation. Like, I thought of it years later, and I tried to look it up online, and I couldn't find it anywhere. I feel like if I look it up now, I could find it now. You know what? I'm gonna do it. Let me get a window capture up in here. Serendipity. All right. Oh, no. Is it a BTS song? Serendipity, Jimin. I knew it. It's BTS. Oh, this is going to complicate things. Serendipity anime. Oh! Oh, is it the whole thing? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yes. Yes. This is it. Oh my God, even this has talking rocks. I can't believe three of the four things I've talked about have had talking rocks with, like, moving faces. Can you imagine if, like, now this video just becomes me watching this whole film real time? Oh my God, it's Pila Pila! Oh my God, yes. He's cute. Pila Pila is cute. He holds up. Oh my God, it's a dolphin with glasses. Oh my God. Oh. I would marry this dolphin. It's like husband material.
Come on then, I'll take you the rest of the way to the
island. Oh my God, I love him.
Lord Winston?
She's literally a My Little Pony. She's so cute. I love how thick she is. I really just want to find the trial of Pila Pila. And also every scene with Lord Winston. I don't remember this mermaid at all. Not even a little bit. Oh my God, it's Lisa Simpson.
We have several illustrious community leaders here today. I want you to meet Judge Smith.
The judge! Did I find it? Did I find the trial of Pila Pila?
Judge Smith is the island's authority on legal matters. The law here.
Pila Pila? You are under arrest.
Oh my God, yes! Yes! Here it is. I told you!
Watch your mouth.
It's a lot smaller crowd than I remember.
Before this court today and an impartial jury of your peers to answer the charges against you.
Oh my God.
I suppose you're gonna tell me what the charges are.
Okay, his voice isn't cute.
With leaving the confines of this island on several occasions without permission. How do you plead?
This is so much like Dinotopia.
You wouldn't find their own mother innocent.
How do you plead?
I'm not guilty.
She's guilty.
Pila Pila's a girl? Okay, so we went on a little tangent together, but that's my answer to that question, I guess. Okay, I just recorded like a whole outro where I started trying to say all the different videos I'm working on right now and just like got into this big stress spiral about how I feel like it's taking too long. God. I said that and then I freaked out that like spiraling is like a medical term and then people are gonna get mad at me for So anyway, I'm just gonna put like 6 different in-progress videos in the description, and then I'd like to hear which ones you find the most interesting, but basically those are all being worked on. I don't want to harsh the vibe of what's been a pretty chill, fun video, so yeah, anyway, but yeah. Thank you guys for your support, as always, and I will see you next month.